Three are lost in an EMS helicopter crash in Tennessee. Flight attendants like the Senate's version of FAA reauthorization, and so do the airlines and GA groups. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, March 26, 2010. The U.S. National Transportation Safety Board has investigators in Brownsville, Tennessee, about 55 miles northeast of Memphis, to start work on yesterday morning's crash of an EMS helicopter. Three crew members were killed. The Eurocopter AS-350 was operated by Hospital Wing, a nonprofit medical transportation company. The company says a patient had just been transported to Jackson-Madison County General Hospital in Jackson, and the crew was returning to Brownsville when contact was lost after 6 a.m. local time. Weather was described as severe rain at the time. A witness reportedly told the Haywood County Sheriff's Department he saw a lightning strike and then a ball of fire just before the aircraft's impact with the ground. WREG-TV in Memphis identifies the victims as 58-year-old Doug Phillips, the pilot, and nurses Misty Brogdon and Cindy Parker. The helicopter medevac industry is already under NTSB's microscope. Board Chairman Deborah Herzman will handle media relations for this investigation. A union representing 50,000 flight attendants at 22 airlines is among organizations praising the FAA reauthorization bill passed Monday by the U.S. Senate. The Association of Flight Attendants, CWA, managed to get several points of concern to FAs included in the bill. Among them, OSHA workplace safety and health protections, cabin air quality provisions, English language standards for flight attendants, and a return to the cabin program for flight attendants who've been through drug or alcohol rehab. The airlines like the Senate bill better than the version passed last year in the House. Air Transport Association President James May, in fact, calls it a vast improvement. Quote, "The Senate demonstrated much appreciated leadership and bipartisanship by including language authorizing the FAA to issue grants to help fund next-gen avionics equipage, a critical first step in ensuring that the benefits of air traffic control modernization can be realized sooner rather than later," unquote. May adds that he's extremely pleased the bill recognizes that passengers and commercial air carriers already are bearing a disproportionate tax burden by rejecting any increases in taxes and fees. The airlines are also happy the bill does not grant the request by airports to raise facilities charges. The Alliance for Aviation Across America, a coalition put together by AOPA during Phil Boyer's tenure to unite general aviation with those who rely on it to fight user fees, is predictably happy the Senate has not proposed those fees. In its statement, the group says, quote, "Importantly, the bill raises the necessary funding for modernization by building on the existing pay-at-the-pump fuel tax, which is simple, efficient, and easy to use. The bill also supports the Airport Improvement Program, which is crucially important for small airports across the country," unquote. Up next on ANN, British Airways and Lufthansa brace for strikes which may disrupt service. U.S. Airways wants the DOT to waive the tarmac stranding rule for its hub in Philly. And FlightWise is now available for your iPhone. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for March 26th. I'm Paul Plack. British Airways is again promising to lease additional aircraft and temporary cabin crews to try to stay on schedule through a second strike, called tomorrow through Sunday by the Union Unite, which represents cabin crews. AFP News reports that BA plans to run all of its scheduled flights from London's Gatwick and City airports, but would fly only about half its short-haul flights and 70% of long-haul routes from Heathrow. Lufthansa's pilots union has called a walkout at all locations in Germany in mid-April, according to ABC News. The timing should avoid the Easter holiday, Pilots say they hope to convince the company to return to the bargaining table. At issue are wages, safety, and working conditions. USA Today reports a walkout by pilots of TAP Airlines in Portugal has been averted by an agreement on a new contract. The bottom line, if you're planning on vacationing in Europe, you'd be well advised to call ahead or check the airline websites. For that matter, since the two sides often have wildly divergent views on how these strikes are going, you might also want to check the union websites and compare the spin coming from both sides. U.S. Airways is the latest airline to petition the Department of Transportation for a waiver of the tarmac delay rules set to go into effect April 29th. The airline is asking for special consideration at its hub in Philadelphia because, quote, it shares the same airspace, is part of the same air traffic control center, and has the same congestion challenges as JFK, LaGuardia, and Newark, unquote. FlyersRights.org has filed objections to the waiver requests made so far to the DOT, and the department appears ready to hold firm on its rule. Department spokesman Bill Moseley issued a statement which reads in part, quote, carriers have it within their power to schedule their flights more realistically, to have spare aircraft and crews available to avoid cancellations, unquote. Some airlines have threatened to cancel flights preemptively to avoid having to pay fines for lengthy tarmac delays, which, under the new DOT rule, could reach $27,000 per passenger. FlightWise, which provides flight tracking on your computer at flightwise.com, has introduced three new apps which can do the same thing on your iPhone. A free version, supported by ads, provides the ability to track aircraft by flight ID, destination, departure airport, or other criteria, and can display all active flights around the user's current location. Current weather radar for the U.S. is displayed along with the flight track. The light version sells for 99 cents and provides the same features as the free version without ads. The pro version sells for $9.99 and adds scrollable maps with pinch to zoom, sectional and IFR chart overlays, more complex search capabilities, tracking for multiple aircraft at the same time, and more. The company says the apps are targeted mainly at the aviation industry. You can find out more by clicking the conspicuous banner for the apps in the upper right corner at flightwise.com. An agreement between two alternative fuel companies may make it possible to blend camelina oil and domestic coal to create clean biojet fuel. Excelergy Corporation and Great Plains Oil and Exploration, the camelina company, have signed an agreement to use CBTL technology, that's short for coal biomass to liquid, to jointly develop the fuel. The companies say this technology has been proven at laboratory and small-scale pilot projects. This agreement helps fulfill the next required step of commercial demonstration and greatly accelerates the scale-up. The airline industry is looking to have biojet fuel approved and available in meaningful quantities by 2012, and the U.S. Air Force wants to be using 50% domestically sourced fuel by 2016. Still ahead, Daniel Webster College is out of the flight training business. Larry Roberts moves over to Bell Helicopter's commercial sales wing. And a retired general dances for senators. You're listening to Aero News.
Welcome to Cirrus Design, maker of the world's best-selling personal aircraft, the sleek SR-22. Cirrus planes feature the latest technologies and are equipped with an exclusive, life-saving parachute system. It is our mission to make personal aviation safe, affordable, and convenient. At Cirrus, we offer a test drive like no one else in the business.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, March 26th. I'm Paul Plack. A noted collegiate aviation program is coming to an end. Daniel Webster College in New Hampshire has announced it will allow 92 currently enrolled flight training students to finish the program, but is not accepting any new applications. Those enrolled for the fall term have been contacted and told to make other plans. College President Nadine Dowling said the school's aviation management and ATC curricula will continue. ITT bought the struggling school last year, but Dowling says the cutback was already under consideration before that time and is completely driven by finances. The New Hampshire Union Leader reports that many students are looking to transfer elsewhere, while others are expressing concerns that the instructors may find work elsewhere before the program closes down. Bell Helicopter has named Larry D. Roberts as Senior VP Commercial Business. He'll be responsible for the sales, marketing, and program development of Bell's line of commercial helicopters. Bell CEO John L. Garrison expressed confidence in the choice. Quote, "He's clearly been a force in shaping the helicopter market, and we're proud to have him join the Bell team. I'm confident that, with his experience and commitment to the industry, he'll enhance Bell's ability to exceed the expectations of our commercial customers throughout the world." Unquote. That aforementioned experience refers to Roberts' stint at American Eurocopter, where he served as VP of Sales, Marketing, and Customer Support, and simultaneously served as Director of U.S. Federal Law Enforcement Development for EADS North America, the parent company of American Eurocopter. Before that, he enjoyed a career in law enforcement and was a founding member of the Gainesville, Florida Police Helicopter Unit. Bell has done well through the recession, but only because of strong government sales. Larry will have his work cut out for him on the commercial side. Dassault Falcon says it delivered the first Falcon 7X jet to China March 5th, with two more deliveries to mainland China by the end of this month. CEO John Rosenvallen calls it a significant milestone. Quote, "The time has arrived for China to emerge as a strong market for business aviation. In anticipation of this growth, Dassault has increased customer support significantly and increased marketing activity throughout China and Asia," unquote. Dassault's Falcon 7X demonstrator recently completed a two-week marketing tour through Asia and Australia, culminating in its first appearance at the Singapore Air Show. With a range of almost 6,000 nautical miles, the 7X can connect Beijing with Paris, Sydney, or San Francisco. It can also connect Shanghai with Auckland, Seattle, and London. Finally, on Tuesday, the U.S. Senate Committee on Commerce, Science, and Transportation heard from retired Army Major General Robert Harding, President Obama's nominee to head the TSA. Of his overall philosophy, Harding expressed admiration for Israel's approach to airline security, which emphasizes direct interviews with every passenger over a focus on indiscriminate body scans. Quote, "We should move even closer to an Israeli model where there's more engagement with passengers. I think that increases the layers and pushes the layers out," unquote. He was then asked by Republican Texas Senator Kay Bailey Hutchison how he felt about union representation for the agency's 48,000 screeners. That's currently a big push underway by the American Federation of Government Employees, the union. She commented that flexibility and agility are key to the agency's development, are key in the agency's ability to deploy its human assets where and when they're needed. Harding, who is the nominee of a generally union-friendly administration, demonstrated his skill as a dancer in his response. Quote, "I think the Secretary and I, in arriving at a decision, would be very concerned about the implementation of such a change if it was to be accepted. We both agree that we would never bargain away security," unquote. To which Senator Hutchison replied, quote, "I understand your inability to make a clear answer, but I'm going to be very interested in following this," unquote. So will we. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, Brent Blue of ThroughTheFence.org tells us specifically how we can help Congress put an end to the FAA's campaign against runway access for off-airport hangar homeowners. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.